Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is the preview spotlight. We're going to be going over the August 2010 previews for stuff that should start hitting shops around October 2010. Now, as always, we have an open submission policy on these episodes. That means anyone can send in a clip, and we totally encourage that because we like to hear what you guys are interested in, because sometimes that, you know, helps us find something that we missed when going through the 400 or 500 pages of previews, the other 100 pages of the Marvel previews, and you know, there's something in here for everybody. It's just a matter of finding it. So we appreciate your help sending in clips. And this time we have quite a few clips. Although interestingly, we didn't get much from Marvel.
Well, that happened last month too.
I think Marvel, I mean, they're doing some good stuff, but nothing that's necessarily at a good starting point or a good hey, jump on here. And I'm not. On the one hand, I'm a little surprised by that, just because, I mean, they should always have something like that. But on the other hand, it'll be after the convention season. It's kind of back to school. Well, actually, by October, I mean, that's not even true. So I don't know what's going on. I mean, again, Marvel's got some good stuff, but it doesn't seem to have everybody clamoring for, oh, you've got to be getting this. So, and if you feel otherwise, by all means, send in a clip next month and tell us what we ought to be getting, be it from Marvel, DC, or any other publisher. The way we format these episodes for new listeners is we start at the front of previews, we head to the back, we dive into the Marvel previews when it's its turn in the premier publisher section. We're only hitting the highlights. We are certainly not going page by page, item by item, because there is just way too much stuff for that. So, starting us off in Dark Horse, on page 26 is Star Wars Knight Errant. Number one, it is a 5-issue miniseries. It's by John Jackson Miller. We got a 50% discount through DCBS. That takes that cover price of $2.99 down to $1.49. Now, I really enjoyed John Jackson Miller's work on Knights of the Old Republic. He's got a really good feel for the Star Wars universe, and he was able to get a bunch of new characters and give it the tone and the style of the movies. It was fun. It had the action, had the adventure. It was really well done. And I'm looking forward to this. This introduces a new character, brand new Jedi Knight, Kira Holt. He's also writing a novel for Del Rey starring the same new Jedi. This is Kira's first adventure. Presumably the novel is going to take place shortly thereafter. They've got a sample page of art on page 27. It looks pretty good. So I'm looking forward to this. I think overall Dark Horse is doing a good job on the Star Wars stuff. And in particular, I think John Jackson Miller is doing a great job. Okay, that takes us to our first clip. Let's listen to that.
Hey, John. Hey, Bob. This is Sean from the Only the Valiant podcast. And I sent you this little message to ask, are you ready to rock? Because I wanted to talk about Turok, Son of Stone, number one, which is in this month's previews on page 32. The first issue is coming out this month, and this is the third title in the recent relaunch that Dark Horse has been doing of the Gold Key characters. So this follows up after Dr. Solar and Magnus, both of the which have recently come out. This issue is written by Jim Shooter, and anyone who's read Jim Shooter knows that he's kind of an old-school comic book writer. He's definitely a master of his craft. And the thing with Jim Shooter's stuff is he always plants these little seeds that eventually develop and go somewhere. And he always ends up in some darn entertaining stories. And so far, everything that's been done is just good, solid, fun comic books. Some of it's kind of campy. Some of it's kind of just basic comic book stuff. But everything so far has been good, solid, fun comic book storytelling. I'll be checking out this issue. I wanted to pimp it out to you guys, so anyone who's interested will make sure you pick it up in this month's previews. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
The page of art that they've got here in the previews catalog is pretty good looking. I will be trying out the first issue and seeing how that goes.
Yeah, I'm going to be getting this too. Do you know if they're doing any other Gold Key stuff?
I don't know yet. It's like, I don't know what other Gold Key. I mean, these are the kind of triumvirate between Turok, Magnus, and Dr. Solar that Valiant picked up that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I hadn't realized they were, maybe I did know they were going to do Turok. But yeah, those were the three that they used as kind of, well, more Magnus and Solar for their core for Valiant. But they certainly did Turok 2. So
that
interesting.
Looks good.
They did Turok 3 too also. Sorry.
So I just wanted to mention really quick, they got the Beast of Burden and Hellboy one shot. This combines Evan Dorkin and Jill Thompson's Beasts of Burden, which is at the Supernatural Investigations with this team of dogs with a cat thrown in. And then Hellboy is getting tossed into the mix. So Mike Mignola and Evan Dorkin are writing it with Jill Thompson art. And I love Jill's painted work. I really like the Beasts of Burden. So check that out on page 38 if you like anything like that. Probably a good sampler for that world. But then something I really wanted to point out is on page 54, which is the Classic Comics Archive Volume 1, White Indian. Now, this is the second in this particular grouping. They did, the first one was Thunda, King of the Jungle. And what's unique about this is Frank Frazetta, who many know from those fantasy paintings like, you know, the Death Dealer and a lot of the Conan paintings and fantasy art. But Frank actually did comics back in the 50s. And they're collecting some of these runs in Thunda Archive. I just got it about a week or so ago. Really nice line work by Frazetta. It's not that painted style he has in the fantasy paintings, of course, but he's got some really nice art. And this one here could slip under people's radar very easily, but this has got a full run of his White Indian, which is a backup feature in the Durango Kid comic from ME Comics. And it's like, I never even heard of this comic. I've never heard of ME Comics, you know, particularly. So for the price that this is, and it's 50% off through DCBS, so you can get it for a really pretty attractive price for what you're getting. And the reason I like things like this is a lot of hardcovers that come out, you know, they're reprinting a comic series that, you know, maybe the hardcover, it's about the same price as what you'd pay for the comics, you know, when you're getting a Marvel or DC reprint volume, except when you're buying something that's Golden Age or Atlas era, because those comics are really hard to find. They're really expensive. And being able to get 200 pages of this stuff for, with the discount from DCBS, it's 53% off. You can get it for $23.49. You know, that is an unprecedented price to be paying for something like this. So if you're a fan of classic comics and classic comic artists like Frank Frazetta, definitely something to check out.
Okay, our next clip takes us over into DC. Let's listen to that.
Mike Myers with the DC Noise Geek Brunch Podcast. And my first pick is on page 64. And I'm really excited about this one because I really have not liked Felicia Henderson's Teen Titans. So just the fact that they're changing the direction is going to be a big deal to me. Felicia tended to write the characters with no voice. In other words, the story plot I didn't think was too bad, but each character could be replaced with another character and it wouldn't matter who was saying what. That's what I had a problem with. But now we're on a new direction and it's written by J.T. Krull, who I really like, and art by Nicola Scott and Doug Hazelwood, which I really like. So I'm really excited about this one. It's 40 pages, $3.99, and it says, "It's here, a new day dawns on the Teen Titans," brought to you by the dynamic duo of J.T. Krull and Nicola Scott. Packed with action, steeped in emotion, and featuring heroes, Teen Titans is ready to explore off the racks. And if you remember, he wrote Blackest Night Titans, and it was really good. So I'm looking forward to this, and the lineup on the cover looks like it has Ravager, who's one of my favorite Titans, and then the main three, which is Superboy, Wonder Girl, and Kid Flash, which I'm excited about. All they need to do is add Robin, and I hear they're going to do that at a later date. And then they got Beast Boy, who's like the elder, and it seems like Raven's the next one, and I think she's still de-aged. So it ought to be interesting. Give it a try. This is kind of like a new issue number one to me. So I'm excited, and so should you. So back to Bob and John. Thank you very much.
I'm looking forward to this, but I'm a huge Teen Titans fan. What I do find interesting about this is there's no Static, and I thought they'd done a good job integrating him into the team and, you know, making him a valuable member. So hopefully that was just an oversight and he'll be back in the team or showing up somewhere else soon. But that should definitely be a fun book to check out. On page 72, we've got our next pick, which is Justice League of America number 50. We got a 50% discount on that through DCBS, taking the cover price of $4.99 down to $2.49. Now, the reason it's that expensive is it is a 56-page issue. It's a big 50th issue, quote-unquote anniversary. And what I find cool about it is not only is it kind of tying into the Brightest Day stuff, which I think has been a really fun storyline, but we also get Dr. Impossible coming back. He showed up in an early issue as kind of the, I don't want to say the anti-Mr. Miracle, but kind of sort of was. But we're also getting the Crime Syndicate back, and I've always enjoyed the Crime Syndicate. I think they're a fun, evil version of the Justice League. So, you know, all of that's gonna play in, and it sounds like that what happens here could threaten not only, you know, the Justice League and the world, but possibly the entire multiverse. Anytime the whole multiverse gets threatened and pulled into a story, it's like, hey, I'm there. That's cool. So I'm looking forward to this. It should be a lot of fun. I think Robinson's been doing some interesting stuff for the Justice League. I'm hoping we get a couple more of the big players. And it sounds like, you know, Jade's going to be sticking around. We're going to have some Black Lanterns in here. It should just be fun. So next up, we've got another clip from Mike. Let's listen to that.
Hello, this is Mike Myers from the DC Noise Geek Brunch podcast. And my first pick for this month is on page 84 of previews. It's Superman 704. Now, this book is causing a lot of likes and dislikes across many people. It seems like there's nobody really in between, but I really enjoyed 701, so I'm kind of enjoying this walkabout story. I thought it was a real powerful story on how Superman can interact with everyday people. And on 704, it looks like it's going to be very much similar to that. The blurb reads, J. Michael Straczynski's Grounded storyline, which has made headlines in USA Today, New York Times, and Entertainment Weekly, continues right here as Superman visits Chicago area. In this issue, Superman discovers that there is a darkness even more immense than outer space, the darkness of the human heart turned on itself. I thought 701 was really powerful. I mean, there were some people that didn't like it, but I didn't know what to think when I read 700, because 700 didn't seem like a celebration of Superman at all with all the stories that were in it. I thought it was a weak, issue, and it felt more like an 80-page giant than a celebration of issue 700. But when I read 701, maybe it's because I went in with lower expectations, but I absolutely loved it. And I would recommend this on page 84 for $2.99. Thanks. Bye. Now back to Bob and John.
Well, I would say anyone who has not liked Superman or has not been reading Superman should definitely try this out, because they've really switched up Superman, and I think they're trying to appeal to really a non-Superman fan base with this switch up. Some of the existing fans, myself included, were not too enthused about the change in direction, but that's fine. There's lots of other comics I can read besides Superman, and I think that, you know, DC, I mean, they're trying out something new, and you know, there are a lot of people who like it. So if you haven't tried out Superman, you don't know one way or another, it's probably worth giving it a look. Now, next one I want to talk about is on page 86, which is Supergirl Annual. Here we got a member of the Superman family who's actually still flying around doing super things to meet your need for that kind of story. This one, the annual, ties into the regular Supergirl series, and Supergirl's back visiting the Legion in the 30th century on Halloween. So these are books that are coming out in October, so we got a little bit of a Halloween bent there. And she's now going to face a new threat called Satan Girl. Brainiac 5 has a plan, but it may come at the cost of shattering his potential romance with Supergirl. So, I don't know, when I read that, I got kind of a little bit of a Spider-Man vibe. You know, are they going to do some kind of a dig at Spider-Man and Mary Jane's deal with Mephisto if they're... you know, doing something with the romance of Brainy and Supergirl with the Satan Girl. But I've been really liking Sterling Gates' stories on the regular Supergirl series. This sounds like just a fun, fun story. I always liked this take on the Legion as well. So check it out, page 86.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one too. Should be fun. Okay, next up we got another clip. Let's listen to that.
My first pick this month comes from page 90 in the DC section, Doc Savage number 7. I seem to have missed number 6 last month, and I should have pointed it out. However, Doc Savage number 7 is now being written by Brian Azzarello, the same man who is currently bringing us First Wave, which I believe to be an excellent book. I believe a lot of readers, myself included, were very disappointed with the initial launch of this book. I'm hoping that Mr. Azzarello can bring it back on track before the numbers dwindle too far. We also have an artist change-out. We're going to Ivan Brandon this time. Has some online art with this issue if you care to check it out. It's reasonable and seems to fit the mold or the genre. The co-feature, Justice Inc., for the first 6 issues, or the first 3 that I've read so far, has been very good, and appears like it's going to continue that way. Hopefully you folks out there will check this out. Let's give Doc Savage another chance and see if DC can get it back on track. Now back to the guys.
I'm actually jumping back onto Doc Savage with this issue. I not only didn't like the first arc, I dropped the book like a hot rock after seeing how that previous author was handling the character. But I'm really interested to see if Brian Azzarello can handle Doc in a way that kind of fits with my expectations for Doc Savage, just because I'm a huge Doc Savage fan.
Well, I think he's kind of shown that in First Wave, and I think this is going to be a pivotal issue for this series. It literally, I think, a make or break, because I had written out the first arc. I don't think I ordered 6. I'm not sure if I ordered 5 even, because I was, you know, not impressed. I mean, I felt the first issue was huge, huge letdown compared to First Wave. But with Azzarello coming on and seeing what he's done with Doc over in First Wave, it's like, okay, I got to give this a shot, probably.
It was like night and day. First Wave was so good. And that the take on it there was just so not to me. You know, it's just not to my taste. It's not a intrinsic, you know, somebody might have liked it. But, you know, I like Brian Azzarello in general. He does a good job. And again, even with this era and these characters, he's demonstrated with First Wave that he's got a really good handle on it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with Doc here in number 7.
Yeah, I just hope enough people realize that Azzarello's taken over the title and give it another shot. Okay, our next pick is on page 95. It's Rebels 21. It's written by Tony Bedard with art by Claude St. Aubin and Scott Hanna. And this is just a fun series. Now, we've got a 50% discount through DCBS that takes the $2.99 price down to $1.49. And it's a clash between Vril Dox's crew and the Green Lantern Corps. And it's looking like, you know, war may become inevitable between the two. And, you know, as powerful as those Green Lanterns are, I kind of, you know, feel sorry for them because Vril just doesn't fight fair. And it's got Lobo guest starring. I think they're introducing a couple of new Green Lanterns. And they're really playing up the space side of things fairly well in this book. I would say it's not quite like the cosmic stuff over at Marvel. It's got a different feel and stuff. But It's similar in so much as it's off in space. It's kind of its own little thing. It's got, you know, thematic ties to the Legion of Superheroes stuff. It's got definite ties towards the Green Lanterns, and you know, some loose ties to some of the Superman stuff they've been doing with the Brainiacs and whatnot. And it's, I think, a really solid series that a lot of people are just overlooking. You know, it's reasonably self-contained. Aside from Blackest Night, it basically is self-contained. I think it tied, well, it guest-starred Supergirl in the first issue, but didn't even tie into her series. So if you're looking for good space action adventure with a little bit of a superhero bent, this is a definitely good book to check out, and you don't need to worry about getting, you know, forced to read everything else from DC. So I recommend it. I like it.
No, I've been a big fan of this series since the beginning, so I really wish people would give it a try if they haven't. And this is a good, you know, especially if you like Green Lantern, you know, it'd be a good one to just try out an issue because you've got the Green Lantern Corps guest starring here.
Well, and I think given that at one point Vril had a Sinestro ring, another person was connected to another ring at one point, they've got the potential of forming their own, you know, cross-corps coalition of people to go kick some Green Lantern butt if they need to. And that could be fun, too. I mean, there's just a lot of potential here. Okay, next up, we got another clip from Mike. Let's listen to that.
Mike Myers again. And the last book I want to talk about is Ragman Suit of Souls. This is the last book for DC on page 96. Written by Christos N. Gage and art by Steven Segovia. And the cover's by Jesus Saiz. And I'm really interested because I've always been a fan of Ragman. He's an interesting character. I have all his incarnations and even when he was part of a team. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a one-shot, $3.99. It's 32 pages. And it reads, Rory Reagan has long struggled to reconcile the burden he carries as Ragman, protector of society's forgotten, with his own strained faith. Could the souls he has consigned to redeem themselves in the mystic suit have answers he needs of what lies beyond, and about the mysteries kept from with him of his own father? And then it said it's written by Christos Gage and Stefan Segovia, who I've never heard of, but it says he's done some work on Wolverine. And looking forward to it. I've always enjoyed that character. He's been really bizarre, and he's a character that if he'd had an ongoing series that I'd be interested in. A lot of other people wouldn't, but I would. Now back to Bob and John.
It would be Steven Segovia, in honor of my son Steven, whose name is spelt that way, who gets really irritated when people call him Stefan. But Ragman's a cool character. I liked him in Shadow Pact, so this is a neat chance to see a little bit more of Ragman.
And I think he actually, if handled well, could support an ongoing series, at least as well as any character could, because they could do kind of that street-level Batman-type stuff with that supernatural, you know, mix in and make it a fairly unique book. Because typically when they do supernatural stuff, it's a bit more world-encompassing, if you will, world-threatening.
Yeah.
And he could do it on a more personal level or whatnot. But, you know, we'll see if they ever do that. Hopefully it'll do well as a one-shot, and we'll see the character some more after that.
Well, next up, we got our pal Damian back again. Hasn't missed a month yet.
He's batting 100% on that, and let's see what he's got this time.
Hey guys, it's Damian here with my first pick for the month, which is on page 98 from Vertigo, which is Vertigo Resurrected number 1. Now, the main reason I am picking this one is because of the Warren Ellis Hellblazer story that's actually in here, which was named Shoot. Now, this was one that it was sent to the printers, as far as I remember. So it was literally at the printers at the point when the Columbine shooting actually happened. So they pulled it literally from the printers itself. So that's what actually caused them to stop this. And with that being said, it actually ended Warren Ellis's run on the book. He basically handed in everything he had and said, that's it, I've had enough. And to be honest, never came back to it. And out of that, we actually got Gravel, which is the Avatar title. So I don't think we'd see Warren coming back to do Hellblazer, no matter how much we'd like him to. But this is actually coming up in this book. It's actually going to have a couple of things there. So you've got writers, you've got Warren Ellis, Brian Azzarello, you've got Grant Morrison, Garth Ennis, and others, as it states there. To be honest, this is something that I am going to pick up because you get to see all the stuff that was banned under the previous reign. So, you know, we can get to see what we were missing out on or what was deemed too incorrect at the time. So it'll be really good to do. If you haven't seen it, it's 96 pages, it's $7.99, and as with most of the Vertigo titles, it's for mature readers. So check it out on page 98, and I'll let you get back to Bob and John.
I mean, I could see we're right after the Columbine shooting. Doing a story about, you know, a schoolyard killing would just be, you know, questionable timing. So putting a little distance time-wise between it and the publishing makes sense. But I could also see why Warren Ellis might be a little, you know, unhappy that that happened.
Right. Now, they don't really go into it here, but I think they're balancing out this 96-page book with reprints of other stuff. There's a whole bunch of these $7.99 kind of mini trades they've got this month that are like that, because I don't think the shoot story is 90, you know, is going to fill in that 96 pages, and they have all these other creators listed here.
It says also includes rarely seen tales exploring, you know, horror, war, romance, but the rarely seen makes me think it's reprints.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was the key word there. Rarely seen means it was seen once before, at least, just not that many times since. Anyway, jumping back past the trade section into Vertigo proper, we've got two issues of Fables this month. I don't really know why they...
Because they got behind and they had a couple of months where they didn't have...
Yeah, so they're doing two issues this month. So they got 99 and then the big one, which is Fables 100. It's 100 pages since it's number 100, and it brings the... Mr. Dark storyline to an end. And that Mr. Dark storyline has been the big storyline that's been running since the conclusion of the Fables War. And we're going to see how one of the Fables agrees to take on the Dark Man in single combat. And we'll see how that goes. I'm assuming that the series is not ending, so we'll probably beat the Dark Man. But I'm really a big fan of Fables. It's one of my favorite things coming out from Vertigo. So I think it's kind of cool also to have a 100-page, 100th issue. $9.99. Pretty healthy price. We got that set up for a special discount, 50% off, so it'll only be $4.99. So $4.99 for 100 pages is a pretty good price. So let's go with that, and... if you have not been checking out Fables, it might be a good place to dip your toe in the water.
Yeah, they're doing some good stuff on Fables, and it'll be interesting to see if it kind of shifts directions or what they do with 101. Okay, our next pick takes us out of DC and into IDW. It's Star Trek Captain's Log Jellicoe One-Shot. It's on page 151. Captain Edward Jellicoe was the guy who took over the Enterprise in the two-parter chain of command when Picard was off being captured by the Cardassians. And we get some background on this guy and see, I guess, what he's been doing since over on the USS Cairo, where he has to face the Cardassians yet again. This was played by Ronnie Cox in Next Gen. It was a really good two-parter. This is written by Keith R.A. DeCandio and art by J.K. Woodward. And I've been liking all the Star Trek stuff they're doing over at IDW. They tend to do two or three issues a month, so enough, but not flooding the market on this stuff. And I like how they're looking at some characters that we just don't see that much of. They did a captain's log on Harriman, the one who was in charge of the Enterprise B when Kirk got killed. And it was a pretty interesting issue. So this should be pretty good too, and I think it's worth checking out.
And I don't get all the Star Trek stuff IDW does. I kind of follow along creative teams, so I get the ones that John Byrne does, and I'm a huge fan of J.K. Woodward, who's doing the art on this. J.K. Woodward also has done the art on the Fallen Angel series with Peter David. He did a comic called Belladonna that came out a while back that I really enjoyed, and you know, a lot of that was, I mean, it's just standard, you know, kind of lady vigilante kind of thing, little mystical element going on. But in his art, in my opinion, is beautiful. It's got kind of, he's got a kind of a painted style. I love seeing anything he does, so I'm really looking forward to seeing his take on the Star Trek characters here.
Okay, next up we've got two picks for the same item, so we'll play those back to back and then talk about that a little.
Mike Myers again with my first independent pick on page 152. It's called Edge of Doom number 1, and why do I like this? Well, why is it a must-buy for me? Because it's Steve Niles. If it's Steve Niles, I pretty much buy it. And art and cover is by Kelly Jones. The preview art looks really interesting. It looks like it's a bunch of, like, small people, like Gulliver's Travels, attacking some man and bringing him down to his knees. But I don't know if that's what it's about. But here's what the blurb reads. It says, "Discover the true meaning of terror as Fright Masters. Steve Niles and Kelly Jones, the Rondo Award-winning team of Best Horror Comic of 2009. I don't know what that comic was, by the way, but I have it. Bring this all-new series to life in this issue. We watch as a very sad and lonely man reaches the end of his rope, only to discover he's in way deeper than he ever imagined. It seems there's an army of little demons in his garden, and he's their next sacrifice." So, sounds interesting. And I'm usually not disappointed with Steve Niles, and it's $3.99, 32 pages. Give it a try. It's issue 1. Try it and see if you like it. Back to Bob and John. Thank you.
Hello. This is Ian Gowan, and I'm a fan of this podcast. A comic book I'm looking forward to this month is The Edge of Doom number 1 from IDW, and it's on page 152 of the August Previews catalog. And this is the story of a lonely man who's under the attack from an army of little red demons. It looks and sounds very much like an old episode of the Twilight Zone TV show. And the writer is Steve Niles, and the artist is Kelly Jones, the same team who brought you Batman Gotham After Midnight. Steve Niles is, of course, the famous author of the vampire horror series 30 Days of Night. And Kelly Jones is also a well-known artist, probably most well-known for his series on Batman in the 90s. And his art is very dark and moody, and I think will lend itself very well to good horror comics. Now, according to Steve Niles on his website, this is definitely not an anthology series. It's a 5-issue series. Each story is standalone, but at the same time, all the issues are connected and can be read in any order. Sounds interesting. And I think that these two guys can pull it off. Cover price is $3.99, but if you order it through DCBS, it's 50% off or just $1.99. Thanks, Bob and John.
I'm a big fan of both Steve Niles and Kelly Jones, so I'm kind of like these guys. It becomes a must-read for me when I see those guys doing it. Kelly Jones, he's done a lot of Batman stuff, and some of it with Steve Niles, some of it not. So you might recognize his art from that. He does a nice style. It looks, I guess, you know, I would compare maybe a little bit to Mike Ploog, his art style. Anyway, if you haven't tried it and you like horror comics, this would be a good one to give a shot.
Okay, next up we've got another pick from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my next pick for the month, which is on page 161 from IDW Publishing. This one is The Coffin by Phil Hester and Mike Huddleston. It is the 10th anniversary hardcover that's came out. It was originally up by Desperado. And to be honest, this is something that I've always been after. I'd had it mentioned to me by Brian time and time again that it's something I had to find. You know, I tried to find as many of these sorts of things that he'd recommended me, because it always seemed to be good whenever he recommended me this stuff. I ended up coming across The Wretch finally, but this is the one that's been eluding me. So they finally bring it out. And how can you go wrong with a 10th anniversary edition on there too? So all I know about it is literally all that's in the blurb there for it. So it's actually a scientist who's trying to prove the existence of the soul by trapping a soul in a, you know, cybernetic skin type coffin, and as he's sort of dying, he catches himself in one and then has to find out what's happening with the work he was working on. So someone's sort of taken over from that. To be honest, as long as it's Phil Hester, I would pick this up no matter what company it was coming out from, because to be honest, I've always loved his work. I love what he's doing on The Darkness. As I said, I love The Wretch. I've, you know, always been a fan of his work. So if you haven't picked it up, or if you're interested in it like I am, hey, you can't go wrong with Phil Hester, especially with this sort of stuff. This stuff is, you know, it's a bit off the beaten track than what you're normally used to seeing, but yeah, it's pretty good otherwise. So from pick it up, as I said, page 161 of IDW. It's a hardcover for $21.99. Okay, I'll let you go back to the guys.
Not the sort of thing I tend to gravitate towards, so I'll be passing on that. But it's interesting how, you know, for like this and the Edge of Doom, it's like, hey, I follow this creator, I got to get this. And I find that really cool because, I mean, if you've got a creator that you know is either a really good writer, a really good artist, and entertains you, I mean, yeah, follow them. Makes total sense. Now, our next pick is on page 170. It's Elephant Men War Toys One Shot. Agathe, and this is obviously part of the Elephant Men stuff. It's got a cover price of $350. We've got a 50% discount on it, and that brings the price down quite a bit to $1.75. And this is kind of following along the story of Yvette, who's still alive as she recovers in a small village in Norway, and the family wonders whether nursing her was really a good idea or not. I finally picked up Elephant Men number 2 on my trip to San Diego, so I now have all of the Elephant Men stuff. I just need to find the time after I catch up on the 180 some odd comics I'm behind on to kind of go plow through this series, because it's art by Moritat, art and story by Marion Churchland, and everything I've heard about and everything I've seen about the Elephant Men stuff, the art is just spectacular.
Now, Marion Churchland won a Eisner this year for her work. So she has been recognized you know, beyond for doing quality work.
So, cool. Now, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't actually read any Elephant Men stuff. I was waiting until I, you know, picked everything up. Now I just need to figure out the correct order to read it in and, again, find time to do that.
Right.
So hopefully by the time this comes out, I will have gotten close to catching up, if not caught up.
And this is new because they had another Elephant Men War Toys one, and this one just called, in the title, Elephant Men War Toys, but the last one was called War Toys Yvette, and this one's War Toys Agathe. So new and different.
One thing I will say is their covers, they tend to have multiple covers on each thing, making hunting down back issues really a pain in the butt if you're having to dig through back issue bins. Because it's hard to tell what issue is really what, if it's different than what you've got, etc. A little bit easier when you go online and they actually label things as cover A, B, C, D, or whatever. So, okay, next up, another thing that we've got two picks for, so let's play both of those, and I'm sure we'll have quite a bit to discuss on this title.
Hey everyone, it's Damien from LordShaper.com, back with my next pick for the month, which is on page 178 in the Image section, and it is Mage the Hero Discovered. This is volume 1. Well, really, there's only 2 volumes going by this. It's actually the first 15 issues, or the actual, you know, the first series that came out via Matt Wagner for Mage. This is where we get introduced to Kevin Matchstick, and he finds out his abilities as the Pendragon, or the, you know, new king of the world type thing, and goes on his quest. This is something that I had to chase down the issues from, you know, years ago, and to be honest, I'll get Matt Wagner stuff in hardcovers if I can find it. So a lot, this is where Grendel sort of started off as well, in the backups for this was where it was as well. So how can you go wrong with that? You know, it came out originally, if I remember correctly, Caliber days, you know, way back when, and it was a great story. If you're interested in it, Kevin Matchstick always seems to mirror Matt Wagner. So in the second series, sort of when Matt was going a bit balder, so did Kevin Matchstick. So things happen along there too. With everything that's actually been announced, actually in the last week even, we've actually had Mage being optioned for a movie again. So, you know, there could be something coming out for it. And, hey, maybe Image is building up for the final third part that everybody's been waiting for. So check it out. If you haven't read it, this is something you need to read. It is something that should be on everybody's shelves. I don't care what you read. This is one of those classic books that everyone should get. As I said, page 178, it contains all 15 issues and it's $39.99. Okay, I'll let you get back to the guys.
Hello, this is Drew Woodworth from the Kill Your Comics podcast with my first pick of the month. It's from Image Comics. It's called Mage, Volume 1, The Hero Discovered Hardcover. It's 424 pages for $39.99. Basically, Matt Wagner both wrote and drew and created this series. It was his first real major work. At the same time, he created Grendel, which you're probably familiar with through the Dark Horse stuff. But Grendel actually ran as a backup feature in Mage when it was first published. But anyway, Mage is basically the story of this guy, Kevin Matchstick, who's sort of a disaffected 20-something, and he meets this mysterious guy who claims to be a wizard, and the wizard gives him a magical baseball bat, and he starts being attacked by these mythical creatures. Well, it turns out the wizard is Merlin, and the baseball bat is Excalibur, and he's the new sort of reincarnation of King Arthur, and he has to go on a quest to defeat these creatures. He meets some interesting supporting characters along the way and makes some friends, and it was basically a 15-issue series, with the last issue being double-sized. So it's a really big, thick chunk of book, and it's all drawn by Matt Wagner. Matt Wagner has a really cool art style. It's kind of cartoony, real clean lines, but has real good dynamics, and just the style is something that I really enjoy. So you really should check this out. It's really cool. It's just now back in print. It tends to go out of print, and then the books tend to get hard to find, and then all of a sudden it'll come back in print. So it's just coming back in print. Looks like a pretty nice package. If you've never seen this before, you should really check it out. It's really good stuff. So anyway, Mage, The Hero Discovered. Check it out.
Yeah, no, Mage originally came out from Kamiko back in 1984, and this Mage series ran from 84 through 86. So this was the first place I discovered Matt Wagner, and I got all these issues. I loved Mage when it came out. This is, I agree, you know, one of those books that, you know, is something that everyone should have on their shelf. If you've never seen Mage before, this is just one of the seminal masterpieces of comics, I think.
I would agree with that. I didn't get it in its original run. I think it might have been First or some other company that reprinted it in a 7-issue double-sized prestige format a couple of years later. I'm thinking late 80s, which is when I picked it up. And then, you know, there's the second volume or the second series or whatever. And I hope Damien's right that Image is gearing up to a third, you know, series.
Yeah, to finish the trilogy. Yeah, it was always supposed to be a trilogy. I guess Starblaze, this was back before, you know, when they did the trades on this. This was really before trades were a common thing like they are today. You know, people now take it for granted that, you know, you get trade paperbacks of everything. When Starblaze did the trades of this, they were oversized. You know, they were like magazine size, I guess, or what we would now consider to be like that oversized Marvel format. Mm-hmm. And it was just unprecedented at the time.
Well, I mean, back then you could count more or less on the fingers of one hand the stories that had been collected in trade. It would have been like this, It would have been the Great Darkness Saga. It would have been the Judas Contract. And from there, it like would really quickly drop off. And it was one of those that only things that were kind of a big deal for the series or just a big deal in general, like Mage, got collected. It's not like, okay, we've done a four-issue series, boom, let's throw it out as trade and be done, you know. That just didn't happen back then.
Yeah, it had to either be an event or critically acclaimed as something that was, like, really, really good. And then it got collected. Now it's like, you know, it's like pretty much everything gets collected in trade.
Yeah,
so the fact that this was collected in trades back in 1987, you know, is, or even, I guess, 85 they did the first trade of it. You know, it's just, it's unprecedented, let's just say.
Yeah, this is something that everybody really ought to read at some point. Now, there's a 40% discount on this, so it's $23.99, which is not a bad price. It's 424 pages. It's full color. It's Matt Wagner. I mean, check it out. Definitely consider getting it, and hopefully they'll get that second volume collected in hardcover soon and follow that up with that third volume of new material.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, another pick from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my next pick, which is not far from the last one, on page 181 from the Image section, and it is Nightmare World, Volume 2, Leave the Light On, by Dirk Manning and Friends. Now, if you remember way back when, I actually mentioned Volume 1 of this when it first released. Nightmare World is actually a webcomic that's going out through Shadowline, and basically what Dirk's worked out is he's doing these 13 mini stories, and well, each book is going to contain 13 mini stories, and if my memory serves me correctly, it is actually going to be 4 books worth. So you're going to get a whole round of stories there. They are all Cthulhu type stories or linked in. There is a big picture for the whole thing, so it has got the overall picture going over it, and there are, you know, these other stories sort of interweave in and out of this overall picture that when you read it online, I didn't originally get it until I started to read it in chunks, where, you know, I'd start from the beginning and literally do the first book. You could go back to the website now and do the next 13 issues can go through in one hit as well now. As I say with Freak Angels from Warren Ellis, this is one of the ones that you can sample before you try. So if you haven't seen it before, you can actually go to the Shadowline website and find the comic up there, give it a bit of a read, see if you're interested, and then order it. Now, it's 128 pages for $14.99. As I said, it's various artists, so he's got a different artist doing each story, you know, little six-page story or whatever, however long that they're going, and Dirk's written the whole thing, so it all fits in together. So check it out. I'll definitely be getting this one because I love the first one. Even though I've read it already, I will be actually double dipping of sorts because there wasn't any issues. I just read it online. Okay, I'll let you go back to the guys, and yeah, I'll be back with some more.
Okay, yeah, next up we've got a couple of picks out of the pilot season from Top Cow. Now, just on our previews call, there's some people that have, you know, a little skeptical about the pilot season from Top Cow, and I can appreciate that because there have been some challenges with pilot seasons past on the books coming out. What I like about pilot season is that you get several books, whether it's 5 or 6, but each one is kind of a launch pad. And when they're done right, you know, they're kind of a standalone story that introduces a new concept that, if voted on, it has the potential and theoretically will launch off into its own series. So the way I would say look at the pilot season is you're getting a one-shot story that hopefully is a cool story. So you read the description and listen to what there is to, you know, be said about it. And if it sounds interesting to you, try out that issue and see what it's like. Or, you know, for me, I just like trying out new comic stories, so I try them all out. So the first one I want to talk about is The Asset. On page 199, it's written by Philip Sablik with art by David Marquez. And This one, I have an interview with Philip on our interview episode, and he'll talk a little bit more about it, but it's kind of interesting. You got this person who's working in kind of like, she's a spy, essentially, and she finds operatives to work with by essentially using one of these online dating services and putting a profile of like the man she wants that kind of matches what kind of asset she needs for whatever mission she's going to do. And she finds a guy and she does the page with it. And I've actually seen some advanced pages from this. Philip sent me a couple of art pages in email, and they look really nice. David Marquez does some really nice art. So it was black and white line art, but it looked really nice. So I'm looking forward to that one. The next one I'm looking forward to a lot is on page 201. And that one's called Midway Earth. And that one, written by Mark Silvestri with art by Stepan Sejic, who's doing art on Witchblade and has done lots of covers. I love Stepan's art. He does a beautiful art style. This is a cool idea where there's two interstellar races that are having a war, and they don't care about Earth. It's just that one's on one side of the Earth and the other's on the other side of Earth, and Earth's kind of just happens to be in the middle of these two warring alien races, and they both want to get Earth, not because they want Earth for Earth, but just because it's in between and they can use it as a staging point to use as you know, kind of refueling, resupply station as they're going from, you know, their home worlds to who they want to have the war with. So, sounds cool. I'm really looking forward to reading that. We can get 50% discounts on these pilot season books that are coming out, so they're really not that bad to try them out. One I'm really excited about, and I think it's pretty unprecedented, on page 205, we've got the Top Cow First Look trade paperback. And this is $4.99. That's regular price. It's 160 pages. It's got six full issues. And here's the twist. It's six full, brand new, never-before-seen issues of comics for $4.99. And this is, I think, the first time we've seen a trade paperback like this that had never-before-published six issues. So it's kind of like an OGN, only it's like six different things. You've never seen this stuff before. There's a limit one, but you can get one copy of this from DCBS for 75% off. So for a buck and a quarter, you can get six new issues of comics. That is, you know, about 21 cents an issue. You would, in my opinion, if you're a DCBS customer, you're crazy if you don't buy this. Even if you're not a DCBS customer, just going into your local comic shop, it's less than a buck an issue for six new issues. Now, I got a copy of this at the Top Cow panel in San Diego, and I've actually read the first three stories in it. And the first one is Genius, which is the winner of two pilot seasons ago, not this year's, but last year's pilot season. That was the one I actually voted for. Loved the series. I loved the number one issue that was in here. The second story in here was Sunset. Another one's by Christos Gage and Jorge Lucas. I loved that one. I haven't gotten to everything in here yet, but just those two ones, them alone, are worth the price of admission to this trade paperback, in my opinion. But, you know, the thing that I like about this is they're all different kind of stories. So even though I loved, you know, certain ones, someone else might not like those, but they might like one that I didn't care for. So, and that's the same thing with anything. Different people have different tastes, but a great way to sample a whole bunch of different ones. And again, on the interview episode that's going up on Friday, we'll have Philip Sablik talking a little bit about this trade paperback with me also. So enough of that, but this is kind of an alternate. John and I were talking on the weekly spotlight that just came out about artifacts and how we're both big fans of the kind of Top Cow universe with, you know, Witchblade and Magdalena and all that kind of stuff. kind of this other stuff that Top Cow does with these new books with the pilot season stuff. I'm just a big fan of the fact that they are trying out all these different types of genres and different types of books. It just, to me, is a great way to sample lots of different storytelling.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, and by packaging it this way, I mean, at $4.99, that's a hell of a deal. Through DCBS, the $125 is just insane. And really, at that point, if you like any one of the six stories, you come out ahead just price-wise. And just as a concept, you know, six stories that are fairly different in nature, tone, style, and genre, you're almost guaranteed to like one of them. So I think that's a brilliant move for them to be doing. And one thing I wanted to point out on that pilot season one, Midway Earth, you mentioned the art by Stepan Sejic. Not only is he an amazing artist, he's also a very prolific one because he's still doing the monthly Witchblade series. So I don't know where he's finding the time to be coming out with so much material that's so good, but he just keeps, you know, producing, and that's just amazing.
He's good and he's fast because he did, when he was still doing the monthly Witchblade series, didn't he do like a, there was some other mini that he did at the same time. He can do more than one book a month. You know, he's very, he's just very quick or very dedicated or what, but the guy can put out a lot of books and all of them look gorgeous.
That, yeah, and that's the key.
To my taste, I love his art.
They've got a consistent look and feel. You know, if you like one, you're going to like them all. And the fact that he can do more than one a month is just great. Okay, that takes us out of Image into the Marvel previews. We got a couple items we're going to talk about, four items. Only one of them is a clip. And ironically, it's from Damian, who often is doing more of the non-Marvel DC stuff. So let's see what he has to say.
Hey guys, this is Damian back again with my next pick for the month, which is on page 4, which is Tron the Betrayal of the Marvel Previews. So page 4 of the Marvel Previews is not to be mistaken with Tron the Betrayal coming out from Disney later on. Now, this is a $4.99 book, 52 pages. The Disney one is a $9.99 trade, which is 128 pages. Different writers, I'm not sure what's going on there. I think this has to do with the whole Disney-Marvel sort of thing. Something's played up there, and they've actually got two books coming out with the same name. But that being said, this is actually a prelude to Tron Legacy, which is coming out later this year. It actually has Kevin Flynn, who's built literally a game grid, which is like what we saw in the original Tron, where the NPC had actually taken over and was trying to take over from there. He's actually got his private grid that he's created to actually make, to test out programs, see what games are like, you know, to make his game company the way he wants to be. So this is where he's trialing it all. And everything starts to go downhill from there. So as we know for the movie coming up, he's disappeared for 20 years. No one knows where he is. His son's been looking for him. And this is the lead up to what happens to get everyone to that point. It's also going to be introducing any of the villains from the movies, characters from the movies. It's got Tron, the security program, Tron come back again. So it's going to be interesting, and it's one that I'm going to pick up because this looks really interesting, and I've always loved the Tron universe. I love the actual game that they came out with a few years back. I love the actual comics that I've brought out so far. I love the movie. I'll watch that again and again and again, no matter how much my wife begs at me not to. But this is going to be something that I'm going to get, and hopefully it's going to live up to the expectations I've got of it. But check it out, $4.99, 56 pages, and in the coming from Marvel, not from Disney. Okay then, let's go back to the guys.
Yeah, I find it kind of interesting that Marvel is doing this Tron the Betrayal two-parter by one creative team with the plot courtesy of Starlight Runner Entertainment, and then Disney Press has a graphic novel by a different creative team covering presumably the same ground back on 270. I'm going to be getting both just because I'm curious how similar or how different they're going to be. But I too am a fan of the Tron stuff, but it's just a little confusing that they're coming out that way with two branches of the Disney stuff covering the same ground. I'm assuming that the one by Marvel is geared more towards the direct market and the other one's geared more towards the book market, but who knows? Okay, our next pick is on page 20 of the Marvel previews. It is Ultimate Comics Thor, number 1 of 4. We have a discount on that of 50%. That takes the $3.99 price tag down to $1.99. And the Ultimate Thor has always been just kind of a more interesting character in some respects to the mainstream Thor, although he's become a lot more interesting over the last few years. Because this one's a bit more of a new age. Is he really a god or not was a question for a while, though it's pretty clear he was. But the creative team here is Jonathan Hickman and Carlos Pacheco. And that's just, I think, a really strong creative team. Put them on an interesting character and, you know, particularly one in the Ultimate Comics line where they've got a little bit more leeway as to what they do with some of these characters. And it should be a pretty cool story. Now, Baron Zemo is somehow going to factor in. I don't know how. I'm not sure that we've seen the Baron Zemo in the Ultimate Universe before. So it'll be interesting to see what their take on him is. But, I mean, Carlos Pacheco does just great art. Hickman's knocking it out of the park over on Fantastic Four and has done a lot of other really good writing. So solid creative team. Good stuff. Definitely worth checking out. And then after that, our next pick is on page 32 of the Marvel previews. It is Captain America 611, creative team of Ed Brubaker and Butch Geiss. Brubaker, of course, has been firing on all cylinders on the Captain America stuff for quite some time. 50% discount on this, taking the $3.99 price tag down to $1.99. It is 40 pages, whereas the Ultimate Comics Thor was only 32. And this is the trial of Captain America. Now, I'm not entirely sure what he's going on trial for, but usually when Cap goes on trial, it's never a good thing, particularly for Cap. But Butch Geiss, really good artist. Again, Brubaker, he's had a fairly grand vision and overarching plot line for Bucky Barnes, first as Winter Soldier, then as Cap, and now as Cap on trial, that I've just been really enjoying it. It's been one of the defining runs, I think, for Captain America, and there have been a couple over the years that have been just really great. I particularly liked the Mark Grunewald run back around the 80s and stuff, but this is just, it's got a coherence and long-term vision that most titles just don't have. This should be a good jumping-on point. It's first part of a story, and Brubaker's got a fairly accessible writing style. So definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I've been loving Cap. Oh, I just wanted to call back to the pilot season stuff we were talking about. I just noticed, I was looking at the DCBS file, all those pilot season comics are actually 75% off. I think I said they were 50% off. So you can get all those four pilot season books, Midway Earth and Asset, and then the other two, Crosshair and 7 Days from Hell, for only 99 cents from DCBS. And they also have signed copies, which they come out a couple of weeks after the regular one, but you can actually get an autographed copy of those books for 99 cents. So, pretty good deal, I think. Anyway, I'm getting them all. next, we're going to continue on in Marvel. We're going to go down to the Marvel Trades section on page 87 of the Marvel catalog. And that is Marvel Masterworks Atlas Era Battlefield hardcover. These are pre-code horror comics from Atlas from the 1950s. It collects the comic book Battlefield numbers 1 through 11. And we've got comics work from names you might have heard of, like Russ Heath, Joe Manili, Gene Colan, Bill Everett. There's just lots of classic comics here if you're a fan of that era of comics. And I've always had a soft spot for war comics and Western comics and stuff. I read those when I was younger. But this is similar to that White Indian comic in that I tend to gravitate towards the collections where it would be extremely expensive or difficult to get those comics any other way. And, you know, these comics from the early 50s, you know, you can get this hardcover with 11 of these comics for half off from DCBS for $32.49. I would suspect that even if you could find one of these comics, you couldn't even get one of these comics for $32.49 in totally beat up condition. So these are things that I kind of like to get because there's no other way I'm ever going to be able to read these stories than picking up a collection like this. So if you're a fan of the war comics, this, especially with the creators that are working on this, this is a good way to get it. So page 87, check it out.
Okay, and then diving into the back half of the previews catalog, we got our first clip there. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my last pick for the month, and this is also the one that caught me by surprise because I wasn't actually expecting it to come out so soon, or didn't realize it was this month it was coming out. It is on page 225 of the Archaea section, and it is The God Machine hardcover by Chandra Free. Now, if you remember, I'd actually spoken about this before. She did an introduction that came out. It was just one issue to give you a sampler of what was coming. This is the full hardcover coming out from Archaea, and we all know how lovely that Archaea does their hardcovers. You know, with everything we've seen from the Mouse Guard to the Titanium Rain, you know, how can you go wrong with what they're doing there? It's 144 pages. It is 1995. And to be honest, this is something that I really am looking forward to. It is in the vein of what you would get from some of the Joan Vasquez stuff. It's got a touch of the old Gloom Cookie type elements that I used to love. But it is something different altogether anyway. You have Guy, who, well, Guy Salvador, as his name is, whose girlfriend had passed on, and he sort of went down this despair spiral that was going on from there, and from that is introduced to, well, comes across Good God and a devil of sorts who he doesn't really believe what's going on there. This is going to be an interesting book because I got tempted with the first, as I said, the first issue that came out. I've known Shan for a little while now. If any of you guys have seen my avatar on the forum, she's the one who actually did that one for me. And I've had the chance to actually watch her work. She actually does get onto Ustream or to Justin TV, and she'll actually record, you know, herself doing her art. So you get to see what she's working on. And she's always been good at putting up sample pages. So really, this is something, one of those, you know, people that I just want to support. Even though it's something that I am interested in, no matter what, I would be buying this, and I reckon everyone should. Her art is fantastic. It does have a gothic twist to it. It has that whole element there. The whole world has that gothic feel to it. But, you know, if that's not your thing, okay, it probably won't be your thing. But this is something that really appeals to me. I've always been a fan of that sort of stuff, and this is one I'm definitely going to be buying. So this one seems to be, it's going to be a big month for hardcovers, but this is the one that's at the top of the food chain for me, so I will be definitely picking this one up, and I hope you all will be as well. So go and check out, you know, this book. If it's that sort of thing, you like that sort of gothic type thing, definitely this is one for you. Okay then, that is going to be it for me for the month, so I shall catch you all next month, and I'll let you go back to John and Bob. Okay then, thanks guys.
Well, and thanks as always, Damien, for all of your clips. I always enjoy listening to them. Usually give me food for thought. Sometimes I pick some stuff up, sometimes I don't, but you cover a lot of stuff that I otherwise would miss in previews. Okay, next up, page 247 from Boom Studios. We've got Stan Lee's Soldier Zero number 1. It has got a 75% discount, taking the $3.99 cover price down to a 99 cents. Basic premise here is you've got a wheelchair-bound college student who becomes infected by an alien parasite, goes through superhuman changes, and becomes what looks to be almost like an Iron Man kind of a armored, you know, soldier or whatever. And Earth is the battlefield for some sort of intergalactic war that he's got to help defend Earth against. It's written by Paul Cornell. He's doing the Lex Luthor stuff over in Action Comics. He's done quite a bit over at Marvel. He's also worked on Doctor Who. He's a very talented writer. The artist is Javier Pina, who's done Superman and Batman. And, of course, the concept is all Stan Lee. And Stan's got, I think, a good style and a good kind of clear vision. I mean, he was, you know, one of the key architects of the Marvel Universe. And I'm really excited about what he's going to be doing over at Boom. I think it's got a lot of potential and, you know, should be interesting to get some new concepts out there. And I think Boom's going to be, you know, 100% behind that and give them the marketing they need. Hopefully they'll get some readers and it'll catch on.
Yeah, and if this sounds interesting, if you didn't catch it, we did record and put up the press conference of Stan and Paul Cornell and Mark Waid and all the creators of these books that happened at San Diego Comic-Con. So you can look in our back issues or back episodes archive on the comic book page website and find that episode. Next up on page 251, we've got the Lady Death Premiere Edition. Now, this is listed as retail price free. It's not really free. Whenever you see a free issue, they're not giving those to the retailers for free. And the same thing on Free Comic Book Day or anything when it's free. It's a promotional item, and the retailers do have to pay for those comics. They don't have to pay very much. In this case, it costs 30 cents a copy for these. And, you know, a retailer can choose to hand those out for free if they want as a promotional item. Or in the case of DCBS, they're allowing us to order this, if you're interested in it, for their cost, which is 30 cents. So it's a 16-page full-color comic. It's the same one with a different cover that they were handing out for free in San Diego. So I picked up a copy from the Avatar booth in San Diego, and it looks good. I mean, if you're a Lady Death fan, it's definitely worth checking out. And if you're kind of on the fence about Lady Death, for 30 cents, you know, it's a pretty low-cost way to check out a 16-page preview of that to see if you'd be interested. Next up, we've got Warlord of Mars, number one, from Dynamite Entertainment. It's on page 255. Now, this is John Carter. Some people may remember the John Carter series from Marvel, obviously the Edgar Rice Burroughs novels as well. I always liked John Carter. He's a Civil War guy. He ends up being mysteriously transported to Mars, where he has all these kind of sword and sorcery type of adventures. Not sorcery, but, you know, I guess we call it sword and sandal adventures there on Mars. He meets a beautiful woman, Deja Thoris, who's Martian. And you can see some of the covers here on page 255. This book is $1. It's a full 32-page $1 preview. But DCBS has 75% off. You can get two copies at 75% off. So quarter, if you want to try this out, same thing. It's 25 cents to try it out. Even for a buck, getting a 32-page issue, that's a pretty good deal. So, you know, give it a look. It's definitely worth a try at that price point.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's funny because if you're going through DCBS, at that point, the bag and the board, which I get and I know you don't, actually, you know, percentage-wise bumps up that cost for those two.
Yeah, I know. It's like you're paying almost as much for the bag and the board as the comic itself.
But I'm okay with that, you know, at least at those prices, not so much, you know, at the full price, whatever. Okay, next up, we got a clip from Drew. Let's listen to that.
Hello, this is Drew Woodworth again from the Killer Comics Podcast. My second and last pick of the month is called Xenozoic, the Complete Collection Trade Paperback. It's coming out from Flesk Publications, who I'm not sure what they've done before, but this Xenozoic is actually a complete collection of all the Xenozoic tales that Mark Schultz published. I think there were like 14 issues. And then It was then published through Dark Horse in a collection of 2 trade paperbacks. Looks like they've put all that stuff into 1 trade paperback. It's about 352 pages. It's for $39.95. It's a trade paperback. If you're not familiar with Xenozoic Tales, it's basically the story of like a post-apocalyptic future where somehow the dinosaurs have come back and civilization is sort of in ruins. And the main character is sort of a mechanic who kind of goes on adventures, and he meets another lady from like a different country kind of far across the water, and they kind of meet up and they go on sort of adventures. And there's all sorts of other things going on in the story too. It's a really well-weaved, complex type story with a lot of subplots and things like that. But the stories are usually kind of, early on in the series, the stories were kind of short and sort of short stories that all kind of connected, but then it starts to get into more detailed plots and stuff. But the main draw of this story or series is really the art by Mark Schultz. If you've never seen his art is just beautiful to look at. It's this real illustrative style. Think like Frank Frazetta, Al Williamson, Dave Stevens, that kind of stuff. It's just, he's an artist, and his stuff is just beautiful to look at. If you like that style of art, you couldn't do any better. It's just beautiful stuff. So if you've never discovered Xenozoic Tales, or if you have some of it and don't have all of it, and you wanted all this, would be definitely the place to go. It's just beautiful stuff. Mark Schultz, he's a really slow artist. He eventually wants to get back to Xenozoic Tales, but it just takes him a really long time because his art style is just so beautiful. But, you know, maybe if this does really well, everybody should go out and buy it. Maybe he can take some time to actually sit down and draw some more, because the more of this stuff we can get, the better. So check it out. Xenozoic Tales. Page 284.
Yeah, pretty much second everything that Drew said about that. It's a great series. It actually developed into a cartoon show called Cadillacs and Dinosaurs that ran for a while back, I don't know, probably in the 90s. But if you've never tried it out, this is definitely a good way to check out the whole thing. Definitely worth the money.
Cool. Okay, next up is a clip from Randy. Let's listen to that.
My second pick this month comes from page 298 of the catalog under the Moonstone section, The Phantom Detective. Moonstone continues to put out their pulp noir comics, or continue to launch their line, which started with the originals last month. And this is another comic with two of the characters, The Phantom Detective, which is the title of it, and also The Green Ghost. Looking on the website, again, they are really trying to go back to the roots of noir and treat it with the respect that they feel it's due. I'm a big noir fan, or a big pulp noir fan. These characters generally come with sidekicks. They come with a little mask. And it's just a lot of fun. These are moody things that if you grew up with TV that was black and white, it really feels good. One of the paragraphs, and I'll quote this off of the website, that I like that Moonstone is doing, is they're not treating this as a reboot. It is an expansion and continuation of the characters' adventures, and it's still the same characters. Everything that went before is treated as canon. So I'm thinking that if the comic's good and I like it, I can go back and find the novels on these and get a lot more out of it. I think it should be interesting. I think it'll be fun. If you're a fan or even a passing fan of this, I'd suggest you check this out. Give it a try. See if you like it. Now back to the guys.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how much success they're going to have with this kind of stuff. I mean, they're branching out into areas that, you know, most other publishers aren't, and I like how they're trying to stay faithful to the original material. So we'll see how that works for them. Okay, next up, another clip. Let's listen to that.
Okay, and my final pick this month comes from page 311 of the catalog under Radical Publishing, Shrapnel Hubris. This is a 176-page trade paperback in full color for $14.95, and with a DCBS discount, if you go that way, you can get it for $10.47. I'm a regular listener to the guys' podcast, and I've heard them wax poetically about Radical a whole lot. This is going to be my first introduction to Radical. The price point's very reasonable. The page looks wonderful. Hopefully the guys can give you more on the story. It looks like it's a science fiction thing. I'm big in sci-fi. The painted stuff looks beautiful. Come on, guys, give me some feedback. Is this a good story to get started or not? Back to you.
So this is the second Shrapnel story, and you can probably hunt down the first trade also. shrapnel is set in the future, and there's been some space wars. The main character in Shrapnel is a female, and she was in the, were they like the Jupiter or the Saturn campaigns in the Space Marines, and then she goes back to Venus, where they're from, and Venus, I guess, has been terraformed, and people live on Venus, and, you know, they're fighting against the Earth forces, you know, for freeing Venus, and this follows on from the story in the first series, where they're continuing that fight for the liberty and freedom of Venus. It's kind of really nice painted art style, kind of not as crisp as like an Alex Ross, but it's kind of a softer edged painted style, more like maybe an Ashley Wood kind of a painted style in some ways. But I like it a lot. It's got like, you know, they have battle suits, you know, there's like, you know, battle action, you know, it's just nice sci-fi story. It's pretty good.
It reads like a summer blockbuster kind of a movie and looks kind of that way. It's very cinematic in scope and style. And again, I like that aspect of a lot of what Radical's doing. They're kind of doing big budget comics, if you will. So I would say, yeah, start with the first Shrapnel and stuff, and then read this. This one should be fairly accessible, but I think you're going to want the full story.
Yeah. But, you know, you could order this one, and by the time it comes out, you can easily track down the first one somewhere, you know, whether on in-stock trades or in a local comic shop or, you know, Amazon or something. Another one that would be really good, you know, I would highly recommend from Radical is Hotwire. There's a series running now, the Deep Cut, that's just as good as the first one. The first Hotwire is also available in trade. That's really worth checking out, and the current series will be probably collected in trade in another month or two as well. Then the last pick that we've got for the month on page 200 is on page, I don't have the right page number.
314, it's, I already fixed that in the notes.
314, I'm looking at my file, and it's like, I got the wrong page number here. It's on page 314. It's called Clint, a little nod, wink, wink, nod, nod from Mark Miller. This is a magazine that he is putting out that, by his statement, is he calls it, this is the Eagle for the 21st century. You know, Mark Miller's known for Kick-Ass. He's known for Wanted. He's known for lots of things. But, you know, he's like, I'm reading a statement from the website here. It says, I've worked on everything from Spider-Man to the Iron Man movie for Marvel in New York. What really excites me is the gap I see in the UK market at the moment. There are absolutely no comic books aimed at the 16, 30-year-old guys, and I think Clint has potential to make an enormous impact, bringing a new type of magazine to a new generation. I want this to be edgy and irreverent, the kind of thing guys will be passing around lunch halls and common rooms, and there's nobody I'd rather have creating new characters for Clint than Jonathan and Frankie. Now that would be Jonathan Ross and Frankie Boyle, who are UK, I think they're comedians, very popular in the UK. For example, they're doing a vampire strip, but they pull it off amazingly. People are going to love this. So this is a 100-page magazine, and it's going to be running some serialized comic book stories. In fact, it will be running the Kick-Ass 2 Balls to the Wall series, which Marvel's putting out in parallel as a standalone comic. It'll also be serializing the Turf series from Tommy Lee Edwards. That's come out from Image that I'm a big fan of. Plus, it'll be having new material by Frankie and Jonathan and others. But it'll also be packed with interviews and features about movies, games, television, in addition to those serialized strips. And, you know, you got these creators that are going to write some sci-fi, humor, horror, whatever kind of stories. And then they're also going to have interviews and articles about these creators as well in the magazine. So that's what it is. It's a little more difficult to figure that out from the blurb in preview, so I kind of tracked it down on the web to give a little bit more of a feeling for what this is going to be about.
How often does it come out? Because I noticed there are two issues solicited this month.
I don't know. It could very well be bi-weekly, because Eagle, I think, what they're trying to emulate, that was more than monthly. That might even have been a weekly magazine. So given that they got two issues here, let's say bi-monthly, and we'll see if issues 3 and 4 get solicited next month.
Bi-weekly, you mean?
Bi-weekly, I mean. You are correct, sir.
Because bi-monthly would mean they only solicited half an issue.
Indeed.
Well, that wraps up all the items we have to talk about this month. There's still plenty of other stuff in previews, in the Marvel previews, for people to get excited about and to go buy. This actually was a little bit of a low month for me. My total right now, and I'm not done figuring out my order, but it's around $454.24 after shipping, bags, boards, and everything. So no real big ticket items for me. Quite a few comics, but I got room to add a few more things if I want to into my list.
Mine's about the same on the comics. Then I add on, there's 3 Bowen busts this month. I got Son of Satan, Satana, and Firestar. All 3 of those came out. So, DCBS price on just those 3 is $160. And then I've got those Eagle Moss figures, the lead figures from Marvel and DC that I get. So that brings my total up a little bit. But on the comics, I'm right around the same area as you are.
Well, I'm getting like 186 bags and boards, and trying to think how many things I'd get would not have one, and I think there's really not much. So, like I said, there are a couple of titles I'm debating whether I want to get or not. So that total will probably go up a bit.
And you're getting more items than I am, because I only have 151 items, and that that counts 9 items, which are those lead figures and Bowen busts. So that leaves me with only 142 items that are comics and graphic novels, or trade collections or whatnot. I cut a lot of comics out, though.
Yeah,
I cut about 40 comics out recently.
Well, and we've always been more or less on par on the number of comics. I think I usually edged out a little because I'm getting more of the Marvel and DC. Granted, you're getting more independents than I do, but the fact you don't get like the X books and stuff like that kind of
right
tips the
there
scale
is
a little.
Yeah, Deadpool and X books.
That's about 50 books right there alone.
Yeah, 15 or 20 books a month right there.
Yeah, but you've always gotten a lot more of the high ticket items and stuff. And for me, I tend to shy away from those. But man, once those little mini lanterns start coming out, I very well may start getting those. They had the DC booth at Comic-Con, and they said they're gonna be like $50 a shot or whatever.
I'm gonna resist those. But if you buy those, your total will start adding up.
I know.
You got to finally come up with some way of displaying those. You cannot buy those mini lanterns and leave them in the boxes. We're going to have to get you a shelf that you put those things on. Maybe I can even get you to crack those lantern figures out of a package, or even if you just put the package, but put like Larfleeze figure behind the orange lantern when you get it and things like that.
Actually, I didn't get all the action figures for the different lanterns.
Ah, you need to track those down now.
I've been thinking about that. I need somewhere to display stuff because I really don't have a room set up like you do. But we'll see what happens.
You've got a lot of empty wall space in your house, man. We can figure
not all that much.
You need one shelf.
Like I said, we'll figure out what to do on that. I've got a few other things I do want to display, but priority is more catching up on the reading and a few things like that. So. Anything else, or does that pretty much do it?
That does it for me.
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.